722 at 760 WJR. It's an annual occurrence. It's just gotten worse, apparently. The presence of large algae blooms in Lake Erie's western half has happened with some regularity for some time. And this time, though, it caused a major problem. And I think that it'd be foolish to think this was the only problem. It, in fact, it really is probably the tip of the iceberg. But let's talk to an expert about it. Dr. Patrick Lawrence, University of Toledo Department of Geography Planning, Chairman, Professor, you have been studying this sort of thing for a long while.
Yes, we certainly are aware that the algae blooms can occur. In fact, over the last 10 years, they seem to be getting larger, more dense, and lasting longer over the summer months. These blooms actually occur on lakes and rivers all over the world, including the Great Lakes. We've known that for many, many decades, but it appears, at least in the western basin of Lake Erie, that they're getting more persistent and larger with every passing year.
What we hear is that that phosphorus is a big problem, nutrients like phosphorus that are in the water that are coming to us. There are many, many ways that phosphorus gets into the water, but large farming operations are generally pointed to as major contributors.
Yes, that's correct. A specific source of the nutrients into the western basin of Lake Erie come from the Maumee River, which is the longest river that drains into the Great Lakes, has the largest watershed or land area that drains into it, and over 60% of that land area is under some form of active row crop cultivation, primarily corn, soybean, or wheat, and fertilizers are a common practice. Many farmers have adopted a variety of best management practices to do a better job of controlling and managing a runoff that would carry sediment and nutrients off the farm fields into ditches, streams, and rivers that end up into the lake. But it's not, the practice is not consistent across the entire basin, and for an area that's land area that's 6,000 square miles in size, it's a daunting challenge.
Here in Michigan, yesterday, representatives from the agriculture community had little press conferences and talked about being aware of the problem, trying to reduce the amount of phosphorus that runs off the region's farms from fertilizer and into the watershed. But they don't want to see any new state or federal regulations that would compel farmers to adopt different practices or best use practices. So we'll find out from the professor what we should do, what we can do, what we must do. Realistically, Dr. Patrick Lawrence, University of Toledo, here talking about the problems with our water and knowing that there will be pushback from farming groups. They know that they have to do certain things, but they also know they've got to grow food for us. And there are a variety of problems besetting the Great Lakes. This is the big one that's in the barrel right now and being talked about because it cost people the opportunity to use their water, both in Ohio and in Michigan. Now, if the long-term solution is a change in the way companies, farmers, individuals use fertilizers, what about for the shorter term? Because this is a problem that's going to, I think, rear its ugly head again and again, Doctor.
Well, in the short term, one of the other issues that needs to be addressed clearly are the aging infrastructure in many of our large cities, and certainly Toledo and Detroit are characteristic of that problem. So we look carefully at how we operate our water treatment plants, what technology is available, what we can do in the short term in the coming days or weeks. But we also need to have a serious discussion. Our water treatment plant here in the city of Toledo is over 70 years old, is in dire need of upgrades, new technology, better infrastructure, more capacity. And so it's going to have to make an investment in these plants because they are also part of the issue in terms of how do we manage in the short term the water we do take in that has the toxin that has to be removed to make sure their drinking water is safe for all users.
But imagine, though, I mean, even if a new Toledo water treatment plant was approved today, it's going to take years to build, and I'm not so certain we have years to address this problem.
Well, what they are doing is, in the treatment plant itself, they have looked at the procedures. They're increasing their use of what's known as active charcoal, which can be used to filter out the toxin. So there are procedures, there's better monitoring in all these plants, and many others along Lake Erie and other areas of the Great Lakes are also doing this in terms of looking at their treatment. We have to have higher standards. We're sampling and we're looking at levels that are voluntary measure in order to meet. There is no state or federal law that requires them to monitor or meet to a level. So there are some things in the short term to make sure that that water that comes out of these treatment plants is safe to drink. But you're right. In the longer term, it's going to require much better improvement of the technology, which exists, to make sure these plants are up to the best standard they can be.
Of course, farmers today using new techniques and technologies, they've implemented them in recent years, helps limit any kind of this damage. But I'm afraid that probably there will be a lot of politics played in something like this. But here we are in Michigan with a number of folks there in Monroe County getting their water from the city of Toledo. This is a regional problem. It's not just, obviously, a Toledo problem, not just an Ohio problem. What actions, Doctor, would you like to see elected leaders in Michigan and Ohio take to help to alleviate or prevent this problem?
Well, actually, there have been a number of major studies that have come out in recent years with very specific recommendations. The International Joint Commission, which is a binational body between the United States and Canada, has looked at this issue. They're responsible for providing policy direction to the governments when it comes to the Great Lakes, including water. Here in Ohio, the state 2 years ago had a state phosphorus reduction task force that also put out a report on the best science, what the status of laws, policy, and also came out with recommendations. So we have the building blocks to sort of address the problem. And yes, looking at farm management practices is part of the approach. We know that the practices that allow soil to stay on the farmland, conservation tillage, buffer strips, the technology smelling news to record and manage what they're putting on in terms of fertilizer, been huge improvements in our basin, in our watershed, and the Midwest has been a leader in a lot of that. We need to see more consistent application of those policies across both the watershed in Michigan and Ohio, and to move forward on whatever means and approaches can be put into play. The point is now we need to stop talking about it, which we've done a lot of that in recent years. We need to start to implement some action.
Well, here's hoping, and that the right action is followed. Is this a seasonal thing? Is this the algae bloom season, or is it going to be happening on a regular basis from this point on?
It is a seasonal. It usually starts to appear by mid to late July and will last into September. The spring, in terms of the amount of rain and the temperature, especially the rain that causes the runoffs, we start to see the sort of setup for these events in March, April, May, and then we wait to see how the weather works through July and August. Now, this year, the weather has been relatively mild. And the bloom is actually only a third of the size that it was in 2011 when we had a record size bloom, because we had a relatively cool without a lot of rain in the last several weeks. Unfortunately, the bloom has centered itself pretty much right around its highest density at the intake of the city of Toledo in Lake Erie for the water treatment plant. So the location and the fact that the weather has been so calm in recent weeks, it hasn't dispelled or pushed or moved that bloom or distributed it in a larger area. And so we're going to have to watch it carefully in the coming weeks. And you're correct. Given what we looked at over the last decade, these blooms can vary from year to year, but they are persistent. And given the right conditions, they will certainly reappear in the coming years.
Dr. Lawrence, thanks for your expertise and coming on board with us this morning. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Dr. Patrick Lawrence, University of Toledo. You know Dr. Lawrence's colleague there at UT, Larry Burns, who hosts his show on WJR called The Relevant University. And, in fact, with all of this happening in Toledo and in Michigan, Larry, who is Vice President for External Affairs at UT, will be devoting his entire show to exploring the water issues, the water crisis, speaking with UT experts and others come Tuesday, August 26th at 7 p.m. here on News Talk 760 WJR.